22. People must forgive me, as an old philologist who cannot prevent himself from maliciously setting his finger on the art of bad interpretation, but that conformity to nature, which you physicists talk about so profoundly as if it exists only thanks to your interpretation and bad philology, and is not a matter of fact, a text. It is much more only a naively humanitarian emendation and distortion of meaning, with which you make concessions ad nauseam to the democratic instincts of the modern soul. Equality before the law everywhere. In that respect, nature is no different and no better than we are. A charming ulterior motive, in which once again lies disguised the rabble's hostility to everything privileged and autocratic, as well as a second and more sophisticated atheism. Ni Dieu, ni maître, neither God nor master. That's how you want it, and therefore up with natural law. Isn't that so? But as mentioned, that is interpretation, not text. And someone could come along who had an opposite intention and style of interpretation, and who would know how to read out of this same nature, with a look at the same phenomena, the tyrannical, inconsiderate, and inexorable enforcement of power claims. An interpreter who set right before your eyes the unexceptional and unconditional nature in all will to power, in such a way that almost every word, even that word tyranny, would finally appear unusable, or an already weakening metaphor losing its force, as too human, and who nonetheless in the process finished up asserting the same thing about this world as you claim, namely that it has a necessary and calculable course. But not because laws rule the world, but because there is a total absence of laws, and every power draws its final consequence in every moment. Supposing that this also is only an interpretation, and you will be eager enough to raise that objection, well, so much the better. 23. All psychology so far has remained hung up on moral prejudices and fears. It has not dared to go into the depths. To understand it as the morphology and doctrine of the development of the will to power, the way I understand it, no one in his own thinking has even touched on that, insofar, that is, as one is permitted to recognize in what has been written up to now, a symptom of what people so far have kept silent about. Power of moral prejudices has driven deep into the most spiritual, the most apparently cool world, the one with the fewest assumptions, and, as is self-evident, damages, limits, blinds, and distorts that world. A true physical psychology has to fight against an unconscious resistance in the heart of the researcher. It has the heart against it. Even a doctrine of the mutual interdependence of the good and the bad drives creates, as a more refined immorality, distress and weariness in a still powerful and hearty conscience. Even more so a doctrine of how all the good drives are derived from the bad ones. But assuming that someone takes the effects of hate, envy, greed, and ruling as the effects which determine life, as something that, in the whole household of life, have to be present fundamentally and essentially, and, as a result, still have to be intensified if life is still to be further intensified, he suffers from an orientation in his judgment as if he were seasick. Nevertheless, even this hypothesis is not nearly the most awkward or the strangest in this immense and still almost new realm of dangerous discoveries. And, in fact, there are 100 good reasons that everyone should stay away from it, everyone who can. On the other hand, if someone aboard ship ends up here at some point, well then, come on, now's the time to keep one's teeth tightly clenched, the eyes open, and the hand firm on the tiller. We're moving directly over morality, and in the process we're overwhelming, perhaps smashing apart, what's left of our morality, as we dare make our way there. But what does that matter to us? Never before has a more profound world of insights revealed itself to daring travellers and adventurers, and the psychologist who in this way makes a sacrifice, it is not the sacrificio dell'intelletto, sacrifice of the intellect, quite the opposite, will for that reason at least be permitted to demand that psychology is recognized again as the mistress of the sciences, with the other sciences there to prepare things in her service. For from now on, psychology is once more the root to fundamental problems.